Well, we're so glad to have you back with us for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, John Embry from Sprott Asset Management. John Embry, industry expert in the precious metals sector for over three decades at Sprott. It's a pleasure to have him back on the show. Welcome back, John Embry.
Thank you, Chris.
You know, we've had this dollar rally that seems to have caught virtually everybody flat-footed, erased 12 years or so of losses on the downside in a very brief period of time due to trouble in the Eurozone. Folks fleeing that region looking for a safe haven. John Williams today at Shadow Stats, and he's convinced it's doomed to failure. The greenback will collapse, sending the precious metals into the stratosphere. Any thoughts?
First thing I would say that I totally agree with John Williams, and I really admire his work. Somebody is sort of doing the right economic analysis, in my opinion. But, you know, you're right. When you look at sort of the trade-weighted dollar, which is it rose almost 25%, then you look at its components. And, I mean, basically, as you correctly pointed out, I mean, the Eurozone is a complete mess. And with Brexit as a, you know, a distinct possibility, you can understand why the Euro's weak. And then you look at the yen, which is another main component of the index. Abe's basic policies over there, I mean, he seems determined to destroy the yen. So consequently, it's weaker than the U.S. dollar. And then something like Canada, which does a lot of trade with the U.S. I mean, we've been damaged greatly by the decline in the oil price. So not surprisingly, the Canadian dollar has fallen quite dramatically against the U.S. dollar. So I think it's really wrong to say it's the strength in the U.S. dollar. I would rather characterize it as abnormal weakness in the components that make up the U.S. trade-weighted dollar.
We've been struggling to try to find a bottom in the precious metal sector for some time, but I think a lot of it has been this passion that investors have developed for equities, in particular U.S. equities. Do you see that interest waning for equities sometime soon?
All I can say, Chris, is that, I mean, I've followed the stock market now for over 50 years, and I mean, I was a money manager for a great portion of that time. And I can honestly say that I have never seen the U.S. stock market as expensive as it is today, particularly if you adjust the accounting back to sort of the levels of the accounting, say, 15 years ago. And there's been so much chicanery in the accounting business that earnings, in my opinion, are greatly overstated. And if they were actually stated correctly, this would be the most expensive market without question in American history. But I'm not going to call for an immediate collapse in the market, because as long as the powers that be are keep stuffing liquidity into the system and the market is kind of rising, it may even go to higher levels. But it, in my opinion, over the fullness of time, is not sustainable. It, along with the U.S. dollar, will probably crash together.
You know, the London Bullion Market Association recently did a study and told the Bank of England that the gold market cannot be transparent with central banks colluding within it. To you and to many of our listeners, you know, that's just like, well, you know, tell us something we don't know.
What I find perhaps more appalling is that otherwise well-informed, intelligent people are sort of denying this reality. I know several people in the gold industry itself who say that central banks don't care about gold. I mean, that is absolutely false. They care probably about gold and silver more than anything else, because they are the sort of the antichrists of the U.S. or of all paper currency. And if they were to sort of start to reflect reality, I think this zero interest based stuff and, you know, the currencies maintaining their sort of value and what have you would be destroyed. So consequently, this is a real battle, and I do believe we're in the last throes of it.
You know, this is sort of a side note here, but an interesting article this week talks about how the Arizona governor vetoed a bill recognizing gold and silver as legal tender. And it would have made Arizona the third state on the heels of Utah and Oklahoma, which recognize the precious metals as sound money.
Well, I tell you, I think who I keep my eye on first and foremost are the Chinese, who are accumulating massive quantities of gold. I mean, and some of the other adversaries of the U.S., Russia in particular, I mean, they have been adding to their gold pile. The Indians, it's almost in their DNA. I mean, they're buying gold all the time. But it seems that in North America and even in Europe to some extent, I mean, gold has fallen off the, you know, the radar, and people are sort of still, you know, clinging to these fiat currencies, which I think are in their final throes. We will have a new currency system in the not too distant future. And I suspect that gold will somehow be involved in it. And at that point, it will be revalued to a, you know, to its real value rather than this, you know, ridiculous value it's trading at today.
Well, you mentioned China, and we've had several top guests on the show, some of whom actually visited Hong Kong recently and noted that there were lines wrapped around buildings visiting from the mainland, desperate to pick up as much gold as possible. The prices and the volume there beyond belief, according to these folks. They also noted that much of China, it's still in some of the provinces, very difficult to purchase and own precious metals. Now, that's changing, and so I think you could look at that as a positive demand factor.
No question. I mean, with the opening of this Shanghai Exchange, which will sort of represent the physical market in the world before all is said and done, I think you're going to see a dramatic change. And I believe probably when the physical market takes over the pricing mechanism from the paper market, which can be manipulated dramatically, I think you're going to see a big change. And I think we're on the cusp of that. So all I can do is encourage your listeners. I mean, this is a phenomenal opportunity to trade in overvalued fiat currency, overvalued bonds. I mean, I can't believe they're selling bonds in Europe with negative yields. This is so astounding to me. It drives me crazy. And so people say, well, gee, I mean, one of the reasons you don't own gold is because it doesn't have any yield. In this instance, it's infinitely better than a bond with a negative yield. So I just don't understand why more people haven't figured this out.
We had a guest on not too long ago who pointed out, incidentally, with decades of experience in derivatives and in the precious metals markets, that his contact in Hong Kong and in Asia for size and bullion, they were looking at $1,800 an ounce regularly in Asia for any large size purchases.
I have heard that too, Chris. I haven't been able to confirm it, but it makes sense to me because if the demand figures that I think are quite valid from that part of the world are true, there is a distinct shortage of physical gold building. And I suspect that what, you know, how you're filling in what isn't being supplied by the mines and from scrap, it's still coming out of Western central banks. I don't know what the policy of our leaders in this part of the world is. I think if that is in fact the case, and it would appear to be, I think this is astoundingly negative for us Westerners.
And I also think that once this threat of a potential rate hike, which I think has already been priced into the dollar market and the commodities markets, you know, specter passes, it's going to be by the fact.
Say, like, I mean, this rate hike talk, to me, it's almost like moral suasion. I look at sort of the real condition of the U.S. economy, and I think it would be suicidal to raise rates at this point. And yet they keep talking about it. They had that guy, head of the New York Fed, Dudley, out there talking that all the March employment numbers were an aberration and the economy's going to strengthen. And he's absolutely wrong, in my opinion. I don't think the economy's going to strengthen at all. I would be more inclined to think it's going to continue to weaken. And so if they want to raise rates into that environment, heaven help us.
Fantastic article read this morning regarding the true bifurcated state of the United States and really the Western world, as the majority of people, I mean, something like 70-80% struggle just to get by. And one of the arguments that this author laid out was that the CPI is so unfairly weighted, like 70% of Americans pay 80 or 90% of their paycheck, their pay stubs, their monthly take-home pay to just groceries and living expenses, and particularly their rent or mortgage.
That's very well said, Chris, for the simple reason that, I mean, the CPI is a terrible construct, and the government, you know, doctors it to make it look infinitely lower than it is. I've seen numbers that I think are more sustainable or more supportable, that, you know, the real inflation is at least 5% or maybe higher. I was just in Florida for a few weeks in March, and I can guarantee you the prices for food and things like that were materially higher than when I was there the year before. And yet, when you look at the reported CPI, they're talking about deflation. I don't believe it.
No, that's right. And the only way they can get away with this highway robbery is simply due to the fact that 50 million homes rely on food stamp debit cards, EBT cards, and related services. 150 million homes actually receive some type of assistance. And without that, you know, were that withdrawn, virtually overnight, there would be disruption in the streets.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, the idea that the U.S. can ever wrestle its budget deficits under control as long as that condition exists is ridiculous. I mean, and if they did try to sort of bring about austerity and cut back in these support programs for the bottom 50% of the society, I think you would have social unrest, to put it mildly.
Well, as we wrap up, in the past, you've had some companies that were on your radar screen that you thought were showing some relative opportunity. Anything that you'd like to leave with the listeners today?
It's a rare opportunity, and the opportunity has persisted, quite frankly, because these things are continually being brought under pressure. I think there's enormous short positions that are being protected to some extent. But, I mean, I think you can buy quality stocks that are sort of mining in geopolitically safe areas. Like, I happen to love Agnico Eagle, which is a Canadian-based company with, you know, big production. I love Goldcorp because it's got, you know, substantial production. It's a good quality company. And in the smaller space, there's two companies mining up here in Canada, Lakeshore and Westome, that I think are pretty pristine. And when the gold price reflects reality, the amount of money these guys are going to make is going to be spectacular.
Well, it's always a pleasure, John Embree, and we thank you and all the folks at Sprott Asset Management for your time today. Would you like to leave any contact information or maybe just an overview of the services that you provide?
Oh, as you know, I mean, we provide our physical trusts in gold and silver, and I think they're quality products because you can be assured that the gold and silver is there and it's audited. You know, we provide a lot of information. You can just go to, you know, www.sprott.com and, you know, tune in and see what we got to say.
Very good. We're going to look forward to having you back on GoldSeek.com Radio.
Chris, it's always my pleasure.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.